Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 4, Dead and Gone. It is the last episode of Detective John Kelly.
Do you think the I Am and the Avalanche song, Dead and Gone, is based off of this?
You know, I don't think so. But that's actually...
true. Isn't there a girl involved in the I Am the Avalanche song?
Well, actually, it could be, because it is about a death. Like, someone actually does die in the song.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to actually look that in.
Anyways.
Maybe. That'd be really weird, but it'd be cool. So this one opens up with a guy has a dead baby in his car.
Famous face. I don't want to say his last name, but it's Michael Imperioli.
Yep. From Goodfellas and Sopranos.
Yeah.
And he has a dead baby in his car. It's his girlfriend.
Basically any mob movie.
Yeah, any mob movie you could think of, he's probably in it somewhere.
Yeah.
What's great is if you go to his IMDb, it's like, his calling cards are his very bushy eyebrows and prominent nose. And you're like, oh, that's a weird thing to write out as a dude's calling card. It's, well, I keep saying it. It's a dead baby in a car. And
well, drive-by shooting.
Drive-by shooting.
He said they pulled up next to him and he didn't know what happened and they just shot at his baby.
And, of course, the Kelly signals are going off that maybe this guy's full of shit.
Well, Kelly keeps asking him questions and he keeps, like, he's being really weird about it.
Yeah, he's being very, like, what's the word? He's not giving full answers. And he seems, like, extremely uncomfortable and weird about the whole situation. And
he's being very, like, off-putting and doesn't really want to help. And I think that's why it sets off Kelly bells, because he is like, you should care. Like, you should want us to help find the... you should want us to find the person who murdered your baby. Like, you should care more.
And he says that it's his girlfriend's kid. And they do the detective thing of, well, we're going to bring you into the station because they suspect he might have something to do with it. And the guy just wants to leave.
Yeah, he just wants to get out. And they don't know where the girlfriend is.
So they go to take him in. But the other thing about this episode, it's kind of poetic that it's John Kelly's last episode, because I think it's one of the worst Sipowicz storylines ever. Because it's so asinine.
Here's our... what did you say last episode? Our crux?
Our crux?
Yeah, our this is our impasse, because I think this is one of his funnest episodes ever.
No.
Storylines.
No, because the story is John Kelly has to deal with this guy whose girlfriend's baby died in the car, and they don't know if he's connected to the shooters or not. And
while this is happening, Sipowicz gets a phone call.
From Lois, from previous season, who was the hooker that Sipowicz would see.
And set him up to get shot.
Terrible person. Yeah. She also tried to get him back into drinking when he was trying to go sober in the first season. So not a great person. She calls him, and we don't know what's up, but he's like, I gotta leave on a personal matter.
Yeah.
Which is another one of the great NYPD Blue things of, I'll just take work off and say it's a personal matter and no one questions it.
Yeah.
For long periods of time. Well,
so, I have a problem with this episode in the fact that, like, how, like, Lois is asking for things, you know? Not asking, she's, like, demanding Andy do things. And in my head, I'm like, that's really ballsy of you. To demand things from a guy who you set up to get shot and then helped you get off of your prostitution charges and shit. You know what I mean?
And not only that, Sipowicz is literally the only person she could call.
Yeah, like, and he's like, and then he's like, oh, hold on a minute, I gotta go. I'll come back and take care of this. And she's like, no, you're gonna take him now.
Because I have another client.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, okay, ballsy for you to be this demanding after the shit you put this man through. And then, second of all, like, who the fuck are you? Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, who the fuck do you think you are?
She also, she says to Sipowicz, you gotta get him out of here. And he says, yeah, but, you know, I gotta set it up. I gotta, like, think about it. I gotta make it, make a plan and make it work. And she goes, no, 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 I have somebody coming up here soon. So what she did was, she says, who's the person I can call that will discreetly get rid of this body? Because I don't want it to be my problem, so I won't have issues with my business, which is prostitution.
Yep.
That makes her a fucking terrible person. Because...
Oh, 100%. She is the worst.
Because she is... She wants this guy gone, not out of his... Not for his benefit. Not so his name gets out, stays out of the papers. Not so his family doesn't think he's a piece of shit. She wants him out so she can make more money on a John. And she calls the one guy who will do that for her because he's nice enough to go, I don't want his kids knowing.
Yeah.
He had a heart attack while fucking
she got him after she got him shot. Like, that's what blows me away.
She's pretty terrible.
It's crazy. It blows me away. It's like, that's unbelievable. Like, I can't believe that's how she acts.
Despite that emotional weight to this story, you cannot tell me the Keystone Cops Sipowicz Medavoy routine to get a dead body into a car so that they can say that he was dead at the police station wasn't absolutely asinine.
No, I thought it was funny.
It's so ridiculous. Because then Medavoy, we gotta go get Howie Holbrook. Is his name?
What makes it all funny is that he did all of this shit, and then right at the end, a medical doctor says, yeah, this looks like this guy's been moved. And Sipowicz is lying to him, and like, how do you know, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, well, first of all, someone tucked his shorts into his underwear.
Yeah.
Second of all, or his shirt into his underwear, and he goes, second of all of the blood fell like if he died on his face down. So Sipowicz was like, oh shit, I got caught. Like, it just never dawned on Sipowicz, like, they're going to medically know that he didn't die in his car. That's what makes the whole thing funny to me.
And the part that made me laugh that I think I'm going to start using on this show as a runner, when something obvious happens, I'm going to start saying, hey, did you hear Howie Holbrook died? Because when they walk in and they said, Howie Holbrook dead in his car. And then you see Medavoy, he's like, hey, you believe that, Medavoy? Howie Holbrook dead. He's like, Howie Holbrook?
So in these first four episodes, it kind of feels like they really wanted to try to make the desk sergeant like a character, a recurring character. Because, yeah, you know, they give him lines where he comes in and he's like, like a couple episodes ago, he goes to the two cops that were robbing people and he's like, this ain't the 2-7, you piece of turds. Like, he goes, if you were my guy, I'd kick your ass right now. And he like has this whole thing, and he has one now where he's like a part of the Howie Holbrook conversation. But then he just kind of disappears
because
I don't think he was good. But he's just like, I don't know, he's really bad, but in like a comical kind of way.
And what's happened with John while he's dealing with the dead baby murder, as opposed
they're
to the,
called in all of his they called in anyone he's ever helped,
including Famous Face and a gun. And they're trying to see if he slipped up, because he has that scene with Anna Gunn. Which, it's so funny watching that scene, because they have a scene together where he goes, hey, Kimmy, was it Kim or Kimmy? I don't remember. But
it was Kimmy.
It was like, hey, Kimmy, so what were they asking you? He's like, they're seeing if I paid for stuff with sex.
Mm-hmm.
And they were unhappy when I told them that wasn't the case.
Yeah, so that was the B answer.
What's funny about that scene to me is I felt while watching it, I was like, I bet Caruso thought to himself, I'm going to have a better career than this woman, which is totally not true. Like, as acting partners, they were getting ready for the scene, and then he thought to himself, he's like, I'm going to go places in movies, I'm going to explode like the shining star I am, and then she wins Emmys on Breaking Bad. People say she's one of the best parts of that show, and then he's on CSI Miami putting on and taking off his sunglasses. I thought that was funny. Because he was probably like, oh, she does a good job, but, you know, she's a couple-day player here on the blue.
I found it weird that, like, okay, they're going to call in all of his CI, or all the people he's helped. And the only people they got were Anna Gunn's character and a dude that came, like, two episodes ago.
Yeah.
Like, there was a bunch of people in the other episodes before that that he helped. Why didn't you bring... Like, you know, I was just felt like it was, like, the most random two people that showed up.
Also, they should have called that guy... If they really wanted to make an impact in that scene, they should have called the guy that his son died, and then the guy punched... what's her name? LaSalle? Remember?
Yeah.
And then that kid, that guy whose son died, manhunted the kid and then brought him back into the police station and put him in the trash can. They should have interviewed that guy, because that's a case that sounds fucked up. Like, how do you write that without sounding like completely insubordinate and weird?
Yeah.
But they didn't talk to that guy at all. So, I don't know. But
they were just. But Kelly pointed out they're just trying to embarrass him.
And I think he has that Martens scene where Martens is one of the few times Martens doesn't seem like a cool guy, because Martens kind of goes, "Well, are you dirty, huh, Kelly? Are you dirty?" Like, kind of trying to bait him into saying something, and it's like, "No, man, you're just fucking with my work. Like, I can't do my job if you're."
But then doesn't he say like, "I'm just following orders"?
Yeah, it's true.
Because that kind of makes sense for me. Because what happens is, at the end, they're switching Kelly from the detective squad to work at the bureau in the dispatch office. Mm-hmm. And Fancy goes, even after all of that, even after the IAB investigation, even after the trial being over, even after all of this, you're going to fire him. And it basically was like it was going to happen no matter what. And so that made me think, like, oh, is Martens only doing this because this guy is telling him to? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Martens is, because we said it at his introductory episode, Martens is the character that sticks in IAB throughout the entire series. And he's also kind of the olive branch between the detectives in that squad and the IAB, because eventually Sipowicz and him kind of have a discussion where they kind of have, like, good cops are good cops and bad cops are bad cops, and, like, it doesn't matter which department you're in. Just one department busts other cops, which seems fucked up. Well, that doesn't make him a bad guy. So,
yeah. He has that conversation with Simone later about how everything's a situation.
To quickly talk about it, and then never talk about it, because it wasn't that great. I don't remember his name, but there's the night tour guy in this episode with a tit cup.
Vince Catelli?
Vince. And Vince has a cup with a pair of tits on it. And Howie Holbrook gave him that cup. Him and Lesniak have a heart-to-heart in the morning, because Lesniak finds the cup offensive, which, in all honesty, who wouldn't find it kind of offensive? It's a cup with big old titties on them.
I know, but, like, it's just a cup. Just don't look at it.
Yeah, that would... I mean, I'm not a woman, so I'm not going to claim to know the women's struggle and the woman thought processes behind an old white man carrying around a cup with huge tits on him. But I will say, my first thing, if I saw somebody with that cup, is, that's a bit ridiculous.
It's retarded that he has a cup like that, and he doesn't think it's a problem. But you know what? I'm not gonna have to deal with it. He's on nights, you know.
And they have a little spat, and then she gets off the phone with her ex-boyfriend who is having emotional issues, and she's given.
Oh yeah, she. I never noticed this, but they have like a deep conversation where she's like, "You need to go to a doctor, or you need to go get help."
And,
like, because you told me you told me that I'm going to be lying in a pool of blood. And Don is, like, eavesdropping, and it's like, what the fuck? Like, this is some serious shit. There needs to be, like, more concern for this lady, because her husband's going to kill her.
But the best part is, where she's seated within direct eyesight of Fancy.
Yeah.
So, at any point during that tearful conversation... Our tearful argument she has with her ex-boyfriend or ex-husband, I can't remember. At any point, Fancy could look up and see that she's emotionally distraught and go, "Hey, is this about that relationship? Didn't you say that wouldn't be a problem?" Isn't it affecting
you? She's not keeping it out. She's not hiding it very well.
No, she clearly has a problem and not doing much to fix it. And she breaks Vince's cup.
Well, I mean,
Vince is kind of a bitch about it.
He kind of deserved it because he said, is that curse coming upon you or something like that?
He also said, I was looking for two Band-Aids to cover him up. Which I think would actually be kind of funny if he did that.
I think it would have been, I would have laughed.
I would have laughed too. And then she also does like a weird break of the cup where she does like this.
But I mean, he did kind of go too far by, I think when he said...
He said something about her getting her period, I think.
Yeah, when he said that, I was like, ah, dude, you're an asshole.
And also, I've seen this episode before, but I think even when I saw the first one, when I saw it for the first time, I mean, I'm pretty sure once I saw the cup again, and then he was saying that while she was crying, I was like, so that cup's gonna be broken. Like, but that's what
the
they
cup,
set up.
So comically cartoon, like, awkward boobs, that it's... I don't know. I look at it and I just think, like, this man is ridiculous.
Yeah. And also, that. And then he has his tearful moment where he's like, my friend Howie Holbrook died.
Oh my God.
Like, and he's not doing a good job. And then he's like, you know who gave me that cup? Howie did.
We had some of the best times together when he said that today when I was watching it. He's like, we had some of the best times together. I'm like, well, I don't feel bad that Howie died of a heart attack. If you had rad times with a dude who gives you a tit cup. And then he calls it his tit cup.
Yeah. Well, through tears. That happened. That's why this might be one of the worst episodes ever, which is why I'm glad that's John.
A mouthful of snot. He calls it his tit cup.
Yeah, and I wrote, oh, no, that's right. Through tears, a grown man on the last episode featuring David Caruso, the guy who plays Vince, goes, that was my tit cup.
So, I have a theory that, like, they, like, made this episode be really, like, kind of out there and ridiculous because they wanted to stick it to David Caruso, and, like, this was to sum up how they felt about him.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, you're clean, but we're still getting rid of you through that thing.
Mm-hmm.
This dude died naked in a whorehouse. And Sipowicz has got to get him back home. And then there's the tit cup. I kind of feel like they summed up like how they felt about him through those little stories.
Also, we've been fucking up his name the whole time, and it's probably been pissing people off who actually watched the episode just before listening. It's Howie Hornbeck.
Where's Holbrook come from?
I don't know. It's Howie Hornbeck.
Hornbeck, whatever.
I was searching through my notes to try and get it right, but I couldn't find it, and I just read it. Howie Hornbeck. Well, what's... Like, it's kind of a fuck you to John, but there's another moment in here where... Because NYPD Blue, it does try to give itself a lot of weight on, like, a really serious issues. So, like, it'll go for something and go for it hard. And the dead baby moment in this, where the mom... Because the guy claims he has no idea why the kid was shot. They find the mom. She's not saying anything. But then she sees her dead baby, and it's that slow motion NYPD Blue sadness faces.
And, like, now she's ready to tell the truth.
But, like they spent like, so much time on her anguish, and then Martinez is like, you know, why don't you, in her memory, tell us what's going on?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought... I really liked that story because I liked the way Caruso, like, kind of tricked him, you know? Like, Caruso had bits and pieces of the information, but he still went in there and was like, hey, so I got Tino, and then the guy was like, okay, now I'll talk. And I don't know, I just really liked how that happened.
He comes in a couple times with very little information and uses it to give him to get the guy to give up a little bit more. But when she goes, I only know one name, it was Tito, Caruso says to him, well, we got Tito, and then the guy shuts down and starts the story.
Caruso goes, we got Tito, and he rolled on his friend, but he never says names.
No.
It's crazy, and then the guy kind of rolls. It was good. I liked it. I just didn't realize... Oh, yeah, they over-dramatized it, which I understand, but...
at the end of the episode, Kelly, they reveal to Kelly, Fancy gives him the "I respect you" speech.
Yeah.
And then Kelly tells Sipowicz, and I think at one point, I think Kelly said, "Oh, I lied at trial," and Sipowicz said, "Everybody lies at trials."
No, because Sipowicz, Kelly tells him that he's being moved, and Sipowicz gets pissed, so he goes to Havril.
That's right.
And he gets in Havril's face, and he's like, "You know, I saw you walk away from the DeSico hit," which I kind of felt like, if Sipowicz is that good of a detective and that good of a cop, he already understands he can't use the same thing for a blackmail twice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, obviously this guy's probably going to have his ducks in a row so he doesn't get fucked over again by the DeSico hit. So I kind of felt that was a little sloppy. But,
I'm remembering now, he goes immediately to Havril because he's freaking out because he's losing his partner.
And then Havril says he lied at trial, and then Sipowicz goes, "Everyone lies at trial."
And at the end of it, Havril kind of says, "I got my ducks in the row with that story, so go ahead and tell anybody in the station house." And Sipowicz ends their conversation with, "I guess piss runs uphill, and you're a stand-up guy."
Yeah.
And then he has the almost nearly tearful goodbye to Kelly in the locker room, which
seems... Yeah, he's freaking out. I felt kind of bad. I also felt the goodbye was really, maybe not. I kind of felt maybe it was a little underwhelming, but it was nice. I guess it was the only way they could say goodbye to each other.
And on the stairwell, John has a Jedi Master moment with Martinez.
Yeah,
he basically says, "Hey, I'm leaving the Force." And Martinez goes like, "Well, don't let him do this to you. Like, just keep working at the job." He's like, "No, I'm done with this job and this life. Just keep doing what we're talking about, and you can always call me." And then he kind of struts out the doors, basically going like, "Yeah, I've left my mark on this show. I'm the best." And
yeah,
we know who's coming in through those doors next week, or not next week, but next episode.
Yeah.
Basically, we're about to get our Bruce Wayne.
I'm so glad that these four episodes are done.
Because now, next episode's going to be real sweet, because we're talking about the introduction of Jimmy Smith's character, Bobby Simone, and it's going to be very exciting.
So what I think sucks about these first four episodes that I watched them this time is I feel like Caruso didn't care. Caruso knew he was leaving. They wanted four episodes so they could keep the story running along. But I felt like Caruso didn't really care to act in it.
No.
Because, like, I got Caruso fatigue faster. And I think it's just because he wasn't given a shit.
It's also not helpful that... Because Michael Imperioli did a really good job playing like an asshole.
Yeah, he did a good job. He was a good character.
And you got Sipowicz. You got Dennis Franz, and he's killing it as Sipowicz. Even though the storyline, I'm like, I don't fucking like this at all. I feel like it's way too stupid. It's way too like comedy driven on a dark idea. Like it seemed like such clown shoes to include Metavoy. Metavoy. Yeah, like because then Metavoy comes in and he's making lines that are supposed to be funny. And then he walks in and says, "Howie Hornbeck died. Wow." Like,
I know, that was so funny / stupid, like that, how they set up that conversation. I could just see Sipowicz like, okay, Metavoy, I'm going to go in and I'm going to tell him that Howie Hornbeck died. You wait like 2 minutes and you come in and go, "Hey, what's going on?" And then I'll be like, "Oh, Howie Hornbeck died." And so it doesn't look suspicious. And then I could see Metavoy like fucking it up and asking too many questions. And then, like, because Metavoy, he gets mad at Metavoy, because Metavoy's like, when he's like, "Get in the car," he's like, "Is your car dead or something?" He's like, "No, my car's not dead. Howie's dead." And, like, he had to tell Metavoy that Howie was dead for him just to get in the car and drive with him.
"We're going to pick up Howie, put him in his car, park it here, so that it does," because I didn't want to bring him up and do it in front of the station house. And then Metavoy, I think he goes... okay, but what about... He's like, "Get in the car, Metavoy!"
Yeah, it's so funny. That, okay, I can see that being a little slapstick.
And then
I can see that being a little slapstick and a little goofy.
And then as they're putting him in the car, Metavoy goes, "Did you do these buttons?" And it's like, "Fucking dude, like, it's a dead man, and he's been dead for a couple hours, I think now. It's stupid. It was dumb, and I think it could only be punctuated better with the fact that Caruso's gone after this.
I know. It's just not. I'm not sad.
No, I'm not really either. And it's also that, like I said, it's also that hindsight bias, because we weren't there at the beginning to see what life was like without Jimmy Smith's NYPD Blues.
Uh-huh.
But when he left the stage desk at the end of this episode, I was like, it's so awesome. That now every episode after this is going to have Jimmy Smith's in it for a while, and that's going to be super cool.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Let me look through my notes, see if there's anything I wanted to mention. Buck Naked from previous episodes is in this.
Yeah.
There's a part where Sipowicz, this is another reason why I didn't like it. I'm so glad I remembered. Sipowicz goes to see his sponsor and he has a dead in the vehicle.
Yeah.
And they have that whole scene where, like, he's trying to be honest with his guy, like his sponsor, but he also doesn't want anyone to see the dead person in his car and call it in.
Yeah, and then again, I think Peter Boyle is being a fucking pain in the ass.
Well, he can't, like, Sipowicz can't straight up tell him, look, I have a dead guy in the car, I'm sorry we haven't met up, I got a dead guy in the car, but he also said, I want to move in with Sylvia, and that's a pretty big change. That could lead to alcoholism.
That's true. You know more about that than I do.
That's the thing about Peter Boyle's character. He's trying so hard to make sure Sipowicz stays on the straight and narrow, because he knows that Sipowicz is a good guy and a good cop, because he once was a cop and he once was a drunk. So he...
Yeah, okay. But he... I mean, there's gotta be a fucking better way of doing it than being that annoying.
And... but what makes that scene lose its emotional weight is then Sipowicz has to go, oh, bye, and then yell at that dude, Buck Naked, like...
Yeah, he yells at him outside. It's funny.
Because, like, the context to that story, if you think about it from his perspective, he's like, I'm a black homeless man. I see a dead dude in a car. I've seen dead people before. The dude is dead. And
Sipowicz basically pulls out his badge and goes, you see this? You know what this means? And he basically goes, it means leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah.
If you say anything about this, I'll murder you. And it's like, whoa.
Yeah, like, that's not a cool scene. It's not funny at that moment. But, I don't know. That's one of the reasons I don't like this episode. It's not a good, great episode. So.
To each his own.
Like I wrote in my notes, Andy ropes Metavoy. Because Andy knows Metavoy's the guy that's not going to say anything. and he can just yell at him to get in the car.
Yeah, it took him a while to get him in the car, though. Shut the fuck up.
Also, wouldn't you think it's in that doctor's duty to mention to the other police that I think this other policeman knows about what's going on, but won't tell
him? No, not if he breaks it down for him.
But he didn't break it down hard enough, I think. He said, you don't want to be caught dead there? And it's like, well, what does that mean? What, were you together? Did you catch
him? No, it's a song. It's also a saying. It's an old-timey saying.
I know.
You don't want to be caught dead in a whorehouse.
I understand that, but from the doctor's perspective, all he knows is this guy knows more information than he's letting on, and he just wants me to leave it, which means he could have something to do with the death, and he's just...
No, it's a heart attack. He had nothing to do with it. That's what the doctor's saying. The doctor, because Sipowicz says, like, oh, what's the problem? Didn't he have a heart attack? He's like, yeah, he died of a heart attack, but this body's been moved. And so then Sipowicz tells him, like, look, Sipowicz implies,
fine,
like, without getting into a lot, we found him in a whorehouse. He had a heart attack, like you said. Leave it at that. I brought him here because I didn't know. Because he mentions his wife and how long he's been on the force. I think he was kind of hinting to him, like, I don't want his record to be tarnished because he had a heart attack in a whorehouse.
All right. I don't know. I feel like if I was the doctor, I would have been like, you need to just come out and say exactly what you mean. But I don't know. Whatever. It's fine. Anything else you want to say about this episode?
No, not really. I'm just happy it's over. I'm excited for Smiths.
Smiths. Next episode, Jimmy Smith's Simone Says.
Getting Simone with it.
Every episode of NYPD Blue Balls and Asher Brothers Podcast is on AsherBrothersPodcast.com and where you find podcasts. The show comes out every other Tuesday. If you are upset about that, make sure to go to AsherBrothersPodcast.com and listen to the old episodes of Asher Brothers Podcast. There are over 100, so there's something for you to listen to. If you have a Twitter, we're on there at Asher Bros Pod. If you have an Instagram, we're on there at Asher Brothers Podcast. And enjoy your week, and watch more NYPD Blue, and get ready for Simone Says, because that's the beginning of the era of Smiths.
Yeah, should be pretty fun.